Hello and welcome to the SGR Coffee Break. This is episode number 9. I'm Chris. With me is, as always, the addicted one.
The addicted one? Okay. Yeah. No, all right. That is true. I am. Yeah, hi, I'm Carrie. I am the addicted one. Yesterday I went to Starbucks and I was wearing, I don't think you've seen it because I didn't bring it with me to Iowa, but I have a kind of a, like one of those, bubble jackets, kind of the puffy, not ski coat. You know what I'm saying? It's a Mass Effect one. So it's all black and it says N7. Hey, don't judge. It's a warm jacket. It has N7, like right here. So I was wearing it into Starbucks, and the guy behind the counter goes, "Do you like Mass Effect?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, just a little." And he goes like, "Oh really? How much?" Like, "Well, I have 2 Mass Effect tattoos." He goes, "You do not." No, I pulled up my, showed my ankle, and was like, "And I have the Paragon on my shoulder." He goes, "That's the coolest thing I've ever seen."
Yeah, and for Extra Life this year, you're going to get BioWare tattooed across your neck, right? That's what we agreed on?
No. Yeah, if I'm going to get BioWare tattooed anywhere, it's going to be pretty much like a tramp stamp, property of BioWare. Just like nice little arc.
Well, that'll work. That'll work.
Little board art.
That'll work.
Yeah, I think that wouldn't be creepy at all.
Whatever.
All right, well, now that we've creeped out everybody, I actually wanted to talk about strategy guide stuff today.
Oh, what?
I know, crazy. It's like kind of what we normally do, like on the website. But, you know, something that I always talked about, because a while ago I kind of had this feature, this little series, that I'll probably pick it back up again, but it was like what I look for in strategy guides. And so I was thinking, every time I get a strategy guide, there's always, I always do one particular thing whenever I get it before I start playing the game. And I was curious, Chris, is there something that you automatically look for in a guide?
The very first thing that I do, I thumb through it and look at the art.
Okay.
Like how well the strategy guide kind of ties in, like brings in the feel of the game. So like with Dying Light, and you know this because I was talking to you, but like in Dying Light, and I'm not sure my camera's going to pick it up, but like the pages, you know, they're all kind of nicely color-coded to kind of give you that dirty, grungy feel of what Dying Light kind of has. I like the fact that, you know, their side navigation tabs are actually like little virus kind of
symbol. Oh, are they really?
Things.
Yeah. That's kind of cool.
So usually when I get a guide, that's the one of the very, I just basically do this. I just pick it up, start thumbing through it, and see how well they make the guide feel like it goes with the game. And in contrast to that, I got the Evolve one. So, you know, I did the same thing yesterday after I got it. I basically rip open the package and I'm like, did the USPS destroy it? Okay, no, they didn't. That's the first thing I really check for. And then I start doing this. But here, like, this one didn't really impress me because here you can see Evolve just kind of looks...
Yeah. Bland.
I mean, they kept the color scheme. I get that. But, you know, it's like...
So you kind of look at the presentation.
Yeah. I want to... You know, because there are guides where if you're going from the game to the guide, let's say like the Dark Souls ones, because they're so encyclopedic. They're just white pages with a bunch of text on it. It doesn't feel like an extension of the game.
Okay.
Whereas Prima feels like the Dying Light one feels like it's an extension of the game.
Okay, well, let me show you the Dragon Age Origins one. Because I actually have it still out, which I'll get into in a minute why. But this was also a Prima Games guide. And if you can look at the pages, the whole thing looks like it's an ancient book.
Yeah, see? So that way when you're playing it, you're flipping back and forth.
It doesn't have tabs, though. So that's one thing about it, is that I had to use a lot of bookmarks, because there's no tabs for anything, like side quests, the maps, nothing. But the whole thing is set up like kind of like an old style journal. So I'm trying to think of there's one that I have recently that kind of has what you're going with, and I don't because even my Dragon Age Inquisition one doesn't have that. But it came with actually because I got the collector's edition it had 6 books came with 6 leather bookmarks. Damn. I've been using that like crazy.
Well, I can tell you that Brady Games does really well as far as. You know, the presentation aspect on all their fighting game ones.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Marvel ones all have a very comic comic booky feel to them, like the old school 1960s, 1970s kind of comic book feel. The Street Fighter ones are very bright and colorful and have nice little blurbs, and they have character artwork all over it. So,
yeah. Now, one of my favorite guides, presentation-wise, kind of like that. Like again, there's no tabs, but it's probably the the Infamous guide, the first Infamous guide, because Infamous was done in a kind of a comic book art style. So was the guide.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, and like the entire back section is all comic book art and concept art from the game. So that's why this one's one of my favorite ones, just because of, I mean, it's like a little art book in there. But I mean, again, the tabs would have been nice, because I really like some of the guides that have, like, especially the tabs you can see down there. Just makes for really easy flipping. And I can't think off the top of my head which ones of mine have that. I want to say most of the Future Press ones do. They have the tabs down in it.
We probably should have correlated a little better.
Yeah, probably. I did. Well, I didn't. We should have talked about what we were going to do. But try to think, like, my Assassin's Creed one. Unity. Hey, this makes for a great video, getting back and forth. Nope, yeah. This one doesn't have. This is my piggyback. It doesn't. Huh. Okay. I know I have some.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've liked them.
I reviewed a few of them, too, and I always make a note to point that out, because I want, you know, Brady Games and Prima and Future Press to do a lot more of that, because, really, those side tabs, those side markings, once you get used to them, especially if they're color-coded in some sort of way, so you know your main quest is, like, in the green tab section, and your side quests are in a blue tab section, and all the ancillary crap, like, the weapons are in a red tab area.
Yeah.
It makes it so easy to just kind of flip to that particular area and then thumb to where you gotta go, as opposed to trying to find a table of contents. And kind of like the GTA 5 one that I just did, where it was like they had a table of contents per section because there was so much stuff just...
Well, okay, this one, closest one I can think of, it, we can barely see it. There's different colored tabs. This is my Mass Effect 2 one. About the only good thing this guide did, this was a terrible guide. But, you know, this one had good tabs down the side, which made it easy to figure out where you were, which was so helpful. And I wish more would do that. But
so that's me. What do you look for in your guide?
Well, kind of silly. One of the first things I look for, I immediately will flip to the back, and I'll look to see if there's the achievements and trophies list. And the reason why is because I always want to know one of two things. One, will it announce to the world that I'm playing on easy? Because sometimes if I review a game or review a guide, I want to get through it as fast as possible. And playing on normal is just sometimes not as fast as possible, whereas easy you can just literally burn right through it. I want to know that, because usually the achievements will have in there, you know, you completed the game on this setting.
Oh, yeah.
And I also want to know if, with the achievements, if it tells you how to get that achievement. Because sometimes it'll have it actually in the guide itself, but I always want it in with this appendix. Because if I want to look up, like, oh, I'm missing that one achievement, how do I get it? I don't want to flip through the entire walkthrough. I just want to go to the appendix and look. And actually, very few guides will do that. The last one that did that was Final Fantasy XIII. And that one actually had, because it didn't have the achievements actually in the walkthrough, it had them all in the back, and it listed exactly how to get them. Like Skylanders Trap Team, the achievements are listed in the back, but how to get them, they're buried in the walkthrough. And they don't even have call-out boxes. It's literally buried in the walkthrough.
Oh, wow.
So, and like, I know most people that's not that important, and no, I shouldn't be. I'm not really an achievement trophy whore. I mean, look at my list. I'm really not. But if you're going to pay money for a strategy guide, I would figure that the achievement section should be more important. Because, yes, you need a strategy guide to help you get the most out of it. Well, isn't getting the most out of it also the achievements and trophies and things like that? Obviously, with Nintendo, that's not the first thing I'll look at. With Nintendo, I usually do what you do. I flip through it to see the presentation. With Nintendo, actually, like with the Zelda guide I just got, the first thing I did was go back and look at the checklists. Because with Zelda, those are so important. And I think I did the same thing with Bayonetta, because Bayonetta also has like a lot of checklists. And of course, same thing with Hyrule Warriors. But yeah, that's generally what I look for. As silly as that may be, that's the first thing I do. It's like presentation to me usually comes in last, because I look at presentation and about how efficient is the guide. Like, do I have to flip back and forth? Is it easy to flip back and forth? And it's one thing to flip back and forth for something if it's easy to do so. The Dragon Age Origins guide, you do a lot of flipping, and it's not easy to flip because there's no tabs, it's not marked, so you got to use bookmarks.
I've had guides where I do that. A lot of the freaking flip here, flip there, hunt this down, hunt that down.
Right, because like even with Dragon Age Origins guide, what I would have liked is, because, you know, they have, like, the 6 different origin stories. If they had at least, like, color-coded those pages so you can, you know, get through those, because you have technically skipped through the first third of the guide unless you're going to play all 6 origin stories.
Yeah.
But
I think this is a tribute to our differences in, like, career paths. Like, you do writing, so you're all efficient, and I'm all photography, so I'm all visual, so...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, presentation is important. I mean, like, as much as I love the Future Press guides, because they're so full of information, like you said earlier, the presentation's kind of...
blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're really good guides.
Oh, they are. And it's, their guides are some, even though they're so thick, they're, the way that they organize that information is so well done. That, like, even in Dark Souls, I only had maybe 1 or 2 bookmarks. Like, a bookmark where I was at, and then if I ran across a weapon that I hadn't picked up yet, I would kind of flip to that weapon and see where I would upgrade it. And then then this is where it starts getting a little cumbersome, because now it's like, oh, if I'm going to upgrade, I need this particular item, so now I have to go to the item section and read where I'm going to get that item, but... it's not a lot. Like GTA 5, it was like, I'm going here, now I have to go over here, now I have to read this table of contents to figure out where the fuck this is, because it's just such a mess. Yeah. That's like, actually, when I'm reviewing a guide, if I'm doing a lot of flipping, it will really turn me off.
Yes, me too.
It makes it so hard to review them.
There's one thing I did like about the last Future Press guide I personally reviewed. I think it was a Deus Ex one, Deus Ex Human Revolution. And because Deus Ex, the way Future Press handles guides, Piggyback does this too, is that they have 2 different sections, one for the main walkthrough and one for the side quests. But what Future Press does is that when they get to the area with their side quests, they cross-reference, tell you what page to go to, which is very helpful. Mm-hmm. So then, like, you can put a, you know, bookmark where you were, immediately have to go to that page that looking at the table of contents or flipping through, and you can find all the side quests and how to do them. You can go right back to where you were. I mean, that is one thing I can say about Future Press. Like, with Bayonetta, there was no side quests in Bayonetta. There's just a shit ton of collectibles. So they had them all in call-out boxes on where you would get them and how you would get them. Because in the first Bayonetta, the collectibles were based on difficulty as well. So you had to play the game like 6 times to get through it. And then they would have like little sections like, this is how you get through this. If you need more help, here's our video, and would give you a link to a video to look at it. So that's one thing. I mean, Future Press, like we said, presentation, but so helpful, so efficient. Like, I've never had to complain about flipping too much.
Cool. And I've never really had a problem with the content that they provide either. It's always been, their guys are really, you know, I can forego the presentation on that one because they cover some big games and they do it very well.
I mean, they made me fall in love with a stealth-based game, Deus Ex. Like, I had the most fun, and it was because they literally held my hand and took me through it, because they actually had, for the walkthrough and for the mission, for the side quests, they had 3 walkthrough presentations for every single one. They had the all stealth, no killing. They had the stealth. No, they had all stealth, some stealth, and then they had the guns blazing. And so I would be able to use, like, usually the stealth and guns a-blazing, like, a little bit. But, of course, that was until I got my hacking ability up, and then I would just sneak in somewhere, hack the computers where they turn the turret guns over everybody, and then I would just stay hidden until the screaming stopped, and then stood up and walked right through. For anyone wondering, no, I did not get any of the stealth achievements. In Deus Ex.
Imagine that.
There were lots of dead bodies in Deus Ex. Well, I'm assuming you're not playing Deus Ex, because that's, you know, as Ross would put it, old game is old.
So, you know, I've tried playing that, and I just never got through it, so. Nope, I'm not playing it, but you know what I am playing? I'm playing a lot of crap, actually.
Yes, you are. What's with the SNES games?
Oh, I'll get to that in a second. Because we still got Elite Dangerous, still rocking the mining.
Of course. Yeah. The mining.
Yeah. It's what I do, because then I can watch Twitch and I don't have to pay attention. So I go off and mine. I find my kick-ass platinum rocks, and then I mine the shit out of them, and then I get scanned, and then I have to run for my life, because I don't want to get blown up with all my platinum on my ship. So, yeah. Okay. And if I remember correctly, I just saw Frontier release a thing that they have a video about the new 1.2 patch that's coming out next month. And that's one where you can actually do the whole, like, party mission and all that kind of thing. So, still doing that. Still loving that game. Still a beautiful game. still working on the crew. I thought for sure I was going to actually start doing missions, and instead I just took my truck and drove around the country some more. It's just how that works.
Yeah, so it's almost like the crew sounds a little bit like Elite Dangerous with cars.
Not really, because it's more like Destiny with cars. I mean, yeah, you can drive all over, so you get that part, the exploration kind of part. And I've found some great views and all that. But it's more like Destiny, because you're constantly racing the same kind of races to get XP, so you can unlock new cars, and then once you're a certain level and complete certain areas missions, then you move on to the next area, and you basically repeat the mix and repeat. So I end up, I'm like, okay, I'm going to race, and I'll do a couple races, and I'm like, ooh, what's that over there? Oh, shiny, I need to drive over. Oh my gosh, look at that view, and I just, yeah, it's just all downhill from there.
That explains why I like Skyrim so much, because that's pretty much all Skyrim is.
Yep, pretty much.
Walking around and looking at that next shiny point.
Yep. That's exactly anything that you could go to, you could technically get there in some form or way. So that's the crew. So the Super Nintendo stuff. I got Super Mario World and Super Metroid, and I have these on here because if people don't know at this point, Club Nintendo is becoming a thing of nothing. So
yeah,
I had a couple hundred points, and I was like, I really should have taken the time to go downstairs, because I had a couple more things downstairs that I could have redeemed codes for, but I was like, screw it, I'm not going to go dig that out. So I used my 460, 500 points, something like that, and just picked up Super Mario World on the SNES and Super Metroid. I wanted to get Super Castlevania 4 as well, but...
So I'm guessing this is like on the virtual console?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes a little more sense. See, what did I got something too. I decided to clean out my points. I think I had 50 points left. And the funny thing is, like, as soon as I announced it, I was like, well, this is what I ended up getting. I have like 50 points left. I immediately got hammered on Twitter with, can I have your points? No. I don't even know how to give points. Go away.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I have like 10 or 20 points left over, and I'm just like, And, you know, I don't know why people are so upset about this. This was a free thing that Nintendo did. You know,
it's taking away our free stuff, man. Don't take away our free stuff.
Yeah, it was a nicety. So I'm glad I got them. I actually started playing Super Mario World. I played both of them. I was about 3 sheets to the wind, so you can imagine how awesome Super Mario World was. and how coordinated I was on Super Metroid. That was even better. So I've been playing those a little bit more, just kind of reliving my youth, I'll say.
That's funny. My confirmation for my Club Nintendo reward doesn't say what I got. I think I got a little bag. I think I got some Zelda.
Yeah, you said bag. You got the. You said that you just emptied out your points and you got that. There was like a 3DS Zelda bag. I saw it. I saw it when I was looking at my stuff, and I was like, "Oh, I don't have that many points. Guess I'm not getting that." Because I was gonna get that too. I was like, "That's cool. I want that." Nope, not getting it. Oh well. Let's see. A game that I just started playing yesterday was Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate on the 3DS.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I don't know why. Apparently, I really like grindy games.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You tweeted about that. I forgot about that.
So, yeah, I started playing this yesterday. The game looks freaking gorgeous. I'm not digging on the control scheme because I don't have the new 3DS with the little nub.
Does it need the nub, or is it an option for the nub?
There's an option to use it. There's also an option to use the Control Pad Pro, whatever, which I'm guessing that uses the nub. But
probably.
So when you're trying to like look around, I use the little D-pad. They have a little virtual D-pad on the screen that you can use as well. So, I've killed a couple monsters already. I've grilled my first couple steaks. Started collecting all the loots. So I could, make my Monster Hunter stronger. So I'm really looking forward to diving into this game a little bit more. The last time I played a Monster Hunter was on the Vita, and I skipped the one on the Wii U, which I'm kind of wanting to go back and get that too, but I don't need another time sync addiction at this point.
Why don't you just stick with Elite Dangerous?
Because I need to diversify.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
Because all these games just take up way too much time. Because the last game I was
so you
playing,
just need more to take up
yeah,
time.
Because apparently I am rocking the free time. And I played more Dragon Age Origins.
Yay! Which,
if you don't follow Carrie, she tweeted out the more that she talks to me about this game, the more she finds out how horrible of a person I am. And I actually wrote an article about this for the Corner of Randomness, but I decided that this time through, because the last couple times I tried to play through, I was like trying to balance the line. I was trying to be like, I'm going to be a little evil, I'm going to be a little good, and just kind of... This time I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to play the way I want to play. And I've been killing anybody. That second Red Cliff.
Yeah.
You walk into town, they're like, oh, help us. It was like, nope, fuck you. You get to the Chantry, oh, help us. It was like, nope, fuck you. You're on your own.
So when you got to the Red Cliff Village, you just left them? You didn't help?
Oh, fuck no, I didn't help. So I did all the...
So you wiped out the village.
Oh, fuck yeah. And it's funny because, you get all these... So you get asked by the dude when you first walk in. You get asked by the dude in the Chantry. You get asked by the priestess lady in the Chantry. You get asked by the knights. I found there was, like, that other dwarven captain guy where you could obviously try to convince him to come help. And he's like, mm-hmm. No, I'm staying in my hold-up wall. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to kill you too. So I killed him and his buddies. I killed the drunk in the mill, the smithy. I killed that guy.
Oh my god!
And then when you go to leave town, right? So you've already told everybody, fuck y'all, I'm not helping. You go to leave town, and that one guy that's sitting on that bridge that first come up to you, and he's like, are you going to help us? He's like, fuck you, no. So as soon as you leave town, you see the darkspawn like coming off the bridge, coming into town. So then I go do something else, and I come back into town, and there's nobody in town.
Yeah, they're all dead.
The one guy that is in the Chantry, I forget his name. You end up helping him out later on. He's almost dead, so I brought him back to life, and then you go up, and that's how you get into the castle. So then when I got to the castle, I might as well just elaborate on how great of a person I am. You have that part where the little boy is possessed, and you can either do the whole blood magic thing, and... then your mage gets to go into the void and fight the other mage, and it'll be all cool. I was like, nope. The mom decided that this boy needed to dabble in magic, so the mom needs to learn her lesson. So I killed her son. And this is the best part.
What did you do to the mom?
I didn't do anything. Oh, I hit her over the head. That's right. There's an option where you get to hit her over the head before you kill her son. So I hit her over the head, killed her son. And this is like my favorite part of the whole game, because all of a sudden Alistar, even though he's not even in my party, is like, I hate you. I got a minus 10 for his rep. I get back into camp, and he, as soon as you enter camp, he corners you and is like, why the hell did you do that? I was like, fuck you, dude. I'm doing what I'm doing because fuck you. You have no say over me. And by the time the conversation was done, I got another minus 35. Alistair and I just don't get along anymore. He sits on one side of the camp, and I sit on the other side. It's a great time.
I have a feeling he's going to leave, because if you get to the point in your game where the party members, because like, you know, there's that little bar that has like, you know, love and hatred. Yeah. If he goes all the way down to zero, he'll try to leave.
Oh, well, he can leave. There's not a door in his way. It's just a little path. He just walks on out the little path. So
I'm going to talk you into getting him to stay. Just not because I personally love Alistair, it's because of another chance you'll have to get him to leave that he will leave no matter what. I won't tell you what it is, but I'm curious if you'll choose that way just so you see what happens.
I might. So I did that. That was a lot of fun. That actually kept me going. I was like, I'm having a hell of a good time. It was great. So then I go and get Shale, and then I got rid of Sten, because Sten was constantly dying and taking out my potions. Like, fuck you, Sten, you can go away. So I got Shale.
You know you can go into the battle tactics to turn that off, right?
Oh, no, I manually control my potion use.
Okay.
Because there's times that I'm just like, fuck you, you can die, because you ran off in some other direction and decided to just take on 8 people, so fuck you can die later. And I'll have to go fucking scavenge up another goddamn med kit to get rid of your goddamn cracked head, but whatever. So I finally got rid of him. Now I got Shale, I got my dog, I got Morgan, and I got me. And it's like the best group ever. This is working out so well.
Who is Shale?
Shale's the golem.
Okay, I see. I didn't do that. I didn't.
Oh, he's great. I love him.
Because there's two characters that are DLC that I think you got like when you pre-ordered the game, or if you get the complete edition or whatever.
Well, to get Shale, you meet a vendor on the road when you're kind of like traveling between two places, and he gives you a control rod and tells you that you have to go to this other town, and it opens up. So you go to that town. And you use the control rod and it doesn't work, and that's when you have to go into a broken down house. You drop down a magic barrier. One guy talks to you, tells you that his daughter is fucking holed up in this little maze thing. So you have to go get his daughter. And this is the part where you do this little puzzle. Well, you find the daughter. The daughter has a cat. The cat is obviously possessed, and the cat is controlling the little girl. So at this point, now you can either, you know, try to drive the evil demon out of the cat and let the little girl go free, or you can do what I did and just say, fuck it. Cat, I need the little girl, otherwise the dad isn't going to give me the actual use for this control, the actual word that I need to use to activate the golem outside. And the cat, so I was like, okay, demon, you can leave the cat and take over the little girl. I just need this fucking control word. So instead of killing the demon, and instead of, you know, going all Ghostbusters, I let the demon take over the little girl. So then you go back out, and you find the little girl by the dad, and the dad's like, what's wrong with you? You are so different. Oh, I'm okay, Dad. Let's go outside, Dad. It was so creepy.
It's so Pet Cemetery.
Oh, it is. So then I got Shale, and then I can extend the boot, because Shale's way cooler. It's nothing like having a big golem by your side, so... Now and then the last nice good deed that I did that you seem to have a problem with is you go down.
Say this is nice.
You go down. I was like, okay, well, I obviously just need to kind of do something else here before I move on to the next town. Oh, there's all these like little premium quests that I can do. Oh, one of them is go down here and get a key and get some armor. So you go back to, you know, where the beginning of the game is, and it's obviously, it's all covered in snow, and now the darkspawn are all there, and you can see all these, like, glowy corpses all over. So I do the quest there. I get all of Kaylin's armor. I get the little documents that you have to get. And when you're coming back, you're going to leave town. And Kaylin is sitting strung up, right? He's all dead because he got crushed in the beginning of the game. So you have a choice. You can either take him down and give him the proper burial, which is a pyrefire. You can pull him down and feed him to the wolves, or you can leave him strung up for the darkspawn. So, I mean, the dude was a pussy, right? He got crushed by an ogre,
Oh
so
my God.
he clearly doesn't deserve the great, honorable burial that everybody wants you to give him. So I fed the wildlife and let the wolves have him. Which you don't actually see the wolves tearing into him. It's like you
Well,
pull
no,
him
you just leave his body just hanging
on
out
a
on the road.
rock. Yeah, well, no. I put it by the side why there's a nice big rock, conveniently, that
She set up a
happens.
buffet table.
Yeah, little buffet table right on the side of the woods. I figured the wolves, it's winter. It's cold. It's hard out. Gotta feed the wildlife. I've been killing darkspawn. I didn't really feel like I needed to leave them anything. Why would I do that? I mean, that's stupid.
You may be a more horrible person than Loghain.
I'm a nice person. I am Vlad the Heartless. I bring sunshine and joy everywhere I go.
I cannot wait until you go to Orzammar and hear what you do there.
Yeah,
So,
I forget where I'm at.
well, I mean, if you're at the castle, you're most likely on the side. You're most likely on the main quest to recruit Redcliff. So you got to save the Earl Aemon. 'Cause he's
Yeah,
sick.
that's the part where I'm looking for some jar of ashes.
Yes, the Andraste's Urn of Ashes.
Of which I'll, probably use for myself.
There's only two options, and I know exactly what you're going to do. I'm
See?
pretty sure.
So you already know how good of a game player I am.
Yeah, you're
What
a
have you been
peach.
playing?
God damn, you're a horrible person.
I'm a nice
Like,
person.
it's like what I was telling you earlier, that I actually pulled out my Dragon Age Origins guide so that when you tell me where you are and I'm looking in your options, it's like, okay, yeah, I see where you're going with this. You're an awful human being. Yeah, so I'm actually like super Paragon in my Dragon Age Inquisition because that's just how I roll. Like when I played Mass Effect and I tried to be Renegade, it was so hard. Like I couldn't be complete Renegade in Mass Effect 2. I just couldn't.
You fucking goody-goody.
Yeah, well, I couldn't kill this one party member over another. I couldn't do it. And that actually affected the rest of my game because then my Renegade points weren't high enough, so wasn't able to defuse this one situation, and one of my favorite characters was killed in the final battle. Anyway, but Dragon Age Inquisition so far I'm still playing that. According to the strategy guide, I am near the end, like story-wise, but there are still so many areas I have not explored. So that is what I am doing. And I was talking to my friend Jen, because she asked me if I'd killed any of the dragons yet, and I said no. I went tried to do one and got him down to halfway, and then he set us all on fire and we all died. And she's like, "Oh yeah, you need to really get into your strategy with it." And because one thing that Dragon Age Inquisition lets you do is that you can do a top-down view. You can pause the game, do a top-down view, and dole out your orders. And sometimes it's very useful because the mages have a tendency just to get right in the middle of a fight. It's like, no, jerks, go on the outside. You don't have armor, so just go out there and just, light everything up. I don't know why this is so hard. So she's like, yeah, so you have to pause the game a lot and move your mages. I'm like, or I can go and keep leveling up to level 25 and then just go back to the dragon and smack him to death without having to do any strategy. And she's like, yes, or you could do that. I was like, well, that's what I'd rather do because I'm super lazy. Strategy. That's not for me. I'm all about the Rahar technique and just smacking things around. What? I don't want your judging. So I'm feeding Kaylin to the wolves. My God, you're awful. And it's not you're not awful because Alistair hates you, because I know a lot of people don't like Alistair, and that's fine. Whatever, it's more Alistair for me, I guess, but killing a little boy, knocking out his mother,
Hey,
feeding a king to the wolves.
fuck 'em. Hey, the mom hid the fact that she was training the boy behind everybody's back in magic, and then when that backfired on her ass, she was like, don't kill my son, and then she lied to everybody that, you know, there was some great big thing going on at the castle when she came back down to get one person.
Right.
She lied.
It was really funny because like I saved Connor because I had already done the mage's circle, which I don't think you've done that yet.
Nope.
Because I did the mage's circle first. And when you do that first, you can actually bring them over, so you don't have to do the sacrifice. They can start it up for you, and you can save everybody because that's my MMO. I save everybody. So I saved Connor. You know, saved his mother. Everyone's happy. They all love the hero of Ferelden. And I go to Redcliffe with the Inquisition, and I run into Connor there. He's now grown up and miserable and wishing that the hero had let him die.
See?
Which is kind of like, oh, it's so sad.
You see how much of a good service I am doing? I am saving him from that pain down the road. I killed him. He doesn't have to suffer anymore. His mom gets to suffer, though. That bitch is going to hate me. She's going to come after me in the middle of the night.
If she doesn't kill herself, I don't know if she does anything later.
Yeah, that's all right.
Right. Okay.
I'm a dual-wielding dwarf. I'll just...
Oh, so you're a rogue, too. I don't know why I didn't think you were a rogue. Warrior. Okay.
I'm a two-handed warrior.
Okay. Thought that was just for the rogue class, but I forgot you can cross-train in Dragon Age. Well, at least in the Origins you can. But so there I started Majora's Mask. When I got it, which was on Monday. I played it for about a couple of hours, and I realized, you know what? So this is where Lightning Returns got its horrible time idea. And all I can see in this game is, like, this is Lightning Returns in the Zelda world, and I don't know how much more I can take.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of time limits, and I know that, yes, I'm at a point where I can reverse time and all that, but now that I reverse time once, like, oh, I have to do all those quests again because now they don't count? Oh, screw that! This is bullshit. At least all the money I've gotten and the objects I get to keep when I reverse time. Otherwise, that would be super frustrating. And that the certain stores and areas only open certain times a day. Like, I don't understand how this is fun. I really don't. I need to give it more of a chance because Lightning Returns was awful in so many more ways. But so at least I don't have, you know, lightning to deal with, or the whole idea of we're now 500 years into the future and we're trying to decide which souls we're going to save. And so instead we have the super creepy moon. I mean, seriously, that thing is creepy. That's like the creepiest looking thing. Like, I don't know why Link just doesn't leave. Just let Termina, you know, have its fate. You know, they're the ones who, like, had this mask and let the Skull Kid take this mask. Just let Termina just die. He can just get on his horse and leave. There should be that option. Well, he's not saving Zelda this time. Let the moon come and crash on this place.
Yeah, fuck it. Oh, look at who's the horrible person now.
Oh, it's just because I don't want to deal with the time.
All those people dying because you are too lazy to deal with the time.
But you know what? I could evacuate the town. There's that option. They can evacuate the town.
Good. And then you could destroy their livelihood because that was, you know, some people, that's where they were born and that's where they grew up. And they would hate to see their town crushed under the weight of the moon.
I can't believe I'm getting this from a guy who let Redcliffe get destroyed by their darkspawn.
Ah, fuck that. They were a bunch of pussies. You know what? If they would have rallied together and done something instead of whining about it.
Wow.
You know?
What's so great is that you're going to finish this, and you're going to play Dragon Age 2, which is totally different from how Origins is in every single way, but you can really take that dick level to the next area, and you're going to have so much fun.
You know, I might actually have to consider that then.
Yeah. I think, like, I didn't hate Dragon Age 2. It's very different, But yeah, you can really take things to the next level in how much you do not give a fuck.
Look at all the fucks I don't give.
Yeah. You can choose to help everybody or be like, no, I really don't care about your agenda. I'm just trying to survive.
Oh, so my playthrough will be about 10 minutes.
Oh, no, it'll still take you, like, at least 2 hours.
Well, then, I'll put that on the list.
I think my final time was 24, which is pretty short, you know, for a Dragon Age game. But I did not all the side quests, but pretty much all the side quests. If I play again, which I have thought about because I want to choose a different ending, I'll probably not do any side quests because they really don't affect anything.
Yeah. XP and items.
It's barely even that. Anyway. Okay.
This has been a great episode of the Dragon Age Inquisition / Origin show.
Hey, I'm always willing to talk more Dragon Age. The obsession is real. The addiction is real. The struggle is real.
We're going to have an intervention when I'm visiting you in 2 weeks.
No, because then I'll introduce you to Dragon Age 2.
And you won't even watch me because I'll be too much of a dick for you. You'd be like, why are you watching horror?
See, that's why I'll just sit there. I'll be pouring my wine. Every single time you do something horrible, I'll just drink.
You're going to need a couple of bottles of wine because I do a lot of horrible things in games.
This could be fun.
This could be
a lot of fun. What else could be fun? Leaving a comment on this post. To letting us know, like, what do you want us to talk about with strategy guides? Like, what's the big thing you look for in a guide? That'd be cool to hear. Or you could email me if you don't want to leave a post, or leave a comment on the post at strategyguidereviews@gmail. You can check out our other podcast, which is The Evilcast at gamesareevil.com. You can follow Chris and I on Twitter at Starvin, at Crunchy Chocobo, and at Strategy Reviews. Well, Strategy Guide Reviews is now part of the GameWires.com network, where they basically, it's a feed for all these different smaller gaming websites, be able to, you know, have more backlinks and have a different opportunity to show off their stuff. So we're all doing that. It looks like we're getting a new writer soon. Yeah, I got an email from a guy who loves strategy guides, it sounds like, as much as I do, if not more, because he actually imports Ultimanias from Japan, which I've only done for one game. So he might be a little more hardcore than me, which is always good. There's something else I was going to mention, and I can't remember. Oh, yes, Friday, Free Guide Friday for the Majora's Mask Collector's Edition Strategy Guide, because I ended up getting two. So you have to watch the video of the unboxing, and then keep your eye on Strategy Guide Reviews on Friday morning, because it will be a race for who can answer first for something, and I will be asking a question from the video.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. I haven't decided what the question's going to be yet, but but it will definitely be from the video. So check that out. Watch the video like several times so that you already have it memorized, everything I talk about. So when I ask the question, you don't have to look it up anymore. Bam! Right there. And then you can, and the first person who responds will get it. May not be fair, but I figured if I asked a question and put it on Twitter or Facebook, people would just, you know, copy and paste what people were saying. And that's not as nearly as fun either. This is more fun for me. It's torturous. It's delightful. See, you're rubbing off on me, man.
My work here is done.
I hope you're happy.
I am happy.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. We will talk to you guys next week.
And we're out.
All right.